Welcome to The Story Mine. This is Kathy Barker.
And David Bullock.
We're co-hosts of The Story Mine.
The Story Mine is a wealth of stories. Personal stories, histories, folk tales, tall tales, fairy tales, and the list goes on and on. You never know what treasures can be found as we dig around in The Story Mine.
Well, there are many amazing places for telling stories. The Sundance Film Festival opens this week. This longtime festival was created to foster new voices in American film. And what a better way to tell your story than in a movie. Park City is an extraordinary place for those stories to be shared. In the early days of the festival, there was a Sundance movie fever, and many of the locals immersed themselves in the festival. They became part of the Sundance culture.
We have two of the longtime stalwarts who spent hours and hours waiting in line to purchase tickets to the Sundance Festival. Many Park City locals will recognize their names, Tom Heffron and Destiny Gross. Welcome to The Story Mine.
Thank you. You know, one of the things that Sundance now has become so huge, we were in the early stages back before it became such a world-renowned and hot ticket item. We were involved in waiting in line for what became many hours over the years to try and get tickets. We both love films, and the experiences we had were fun to reminisce about.
Tom should be known by his true and real name, which is the Listmaster. There's a ton of people in Park City that know him visually and know him as the Listmaster.
Tom, tell us a little bit more about your moniker, the Listmaster. How did that come about?
Originally, when Sundance came into being up here in Park City, I moved up to Park City. I was living down in the Valley, Salt Lake Valley, and I would participate in Sundance, sporadically. But when I moved up here, it became a lot easier to go and see. I didn't have as far as travel, and having kids and stuff like that with school, it was easier to schedule. I can remember the very first time I waited in line for Sundance tickets. I think they went on sale at 2:00 in the afternoon, and they were all hand-pulled tickets, none of the electronic stuff. They had all the tickets in little envelopes by venue and by time. You waited in line. It was in the basement of the Images of Nature Gallery on Main Street, which you know is nothing to speak of as far as size. I think I waited in line for about 2 hours with my son, and I was sixth in line. And it took that long to go through. I remember I had a woman, an older woman, offer to buy my spot in line because she saw how long it was taking, and of course I didn't. That's kind of how I got started in waiting in line for Sundance.
That is sort of, I have the same memory of the stairs. Was it stairs?
Yeah.
Waiting in line there. And I was, I think, pretty casual Sundance goer at that time. I'd gone, I can't remember the first year I ever went, but I would see maybe 5 movies. But it was, in the beginning, you could walk by the theater and they would either, you know, trying to fill the theater, they would give you tickets to go in. Or you could just get tickets kind of easier that way. And I didn't wait in line for a while.
And a lot of the movies back then, you know, in the early days when independent film wasn't as dynamic an enterprise as it is now, you had probably 30% of the films that were basically crap. So it was always kind of a roll of the dice going to see a film. You just weren't sure. Nowadays, you know, you may not like the subject matter or the film itself, but the quality of the film is, you know, usually top-notch or on par with major theatrical releases.
As I understand it, the Sundance Institute was organized in 1981, and then the first films were shown in 85. How does that work with your chronology?
It was the United States Film Festival
first. Oh, it was.
And I have a program guide here.
It's a classic.
It's an antique.
But, and, you know, they only had, what, 4 theaters? The 3 Holiday Village and the Egyptian Theaters where they were showing things. But they had a full lineup here, and there was quite a few films. Some of these films and some of the directors have gone on to make quite an impact in the cinematic world. it was still not a big thing. Film festivals in general, other than Cannes, have never been a big thing. It's just become such an event.
Yeah, and a gathering, too. It's a gathering of like-minded cinematic cinephiles.
But it's also now more than that. Yeah. It's become so much more. And that's one of the, you know, the things that has caused our lives of going to Sundance become much harder. For us as locals to do Sundance in a big way, it becomes harder and harder every year for us to participate because so many other people from all over the world are trying to participate and so many other locals are trying to participate. And that's great. And Sundance has done a great job of trying to broaden that. But for those of us who do it almost full time, it's made it hard over the years. You know, I can remember they went from the single ticket pools at Images of Nature Gallery, and the next time I think I can remember was it was in the bottom of Z Place, which is what Park City Live, Harry O's building in the basement there, but it was still single ticket. You know, they were pulling them out of envelopes, but they had bigger staff and they had a better system and it went a little quicker, but you still waited in line. When they started doing the electronic, I think the first place was at the Gateway. When we went to wait in line, I can remember getting in line because tickets went on sale, I think, at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock back then. And I can remember getting up early and getting over there at 6 a.m.
Yeah. I remember 6, and then it became 5, and then it became 2, and then it became midnight the night before, and then it became the day before.
The last time that they had actual where you would wait in line and get your queue card, basically, your ticket buying time card, I think I waited in line 28 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, there was probably 40 or 50 of us that were there for over 24 hours.
You are true cinema maniacs.
Well,
but it's just like anything else. You put in that amount of work and you were rewarded.
Yeah. Mostly you got the tickets that you wanted. So it did reward the tenacious and the true fans. The camping out overnight thing, there was a reason why. And I know those 100 people, the first 100 in line, I know them intimately. Because we have spent many a year together and huddled and slept together.
It's been, and that's part of the fun, you know.
And I miss that camaraderie.
It did create a sense of community.
Yeah.
Everybody really kind of policed themselves. And part of that was that we had Destiny, myself, and another gentleman from Salt Lake that used to come up by the name of Tim Collins. Mm-hmm. And he used to come up, and we were the ones, and the reason they came up instead of waiting in line down in Salt Lake was that Park City was much more organized and much more structured. Now, that was not structured by Sundance. They didn't care. As long as there wasn't an all-out riot when the doors opened, they didn't care what happened. They sold their tickets. That was their responsibility. But the people in line, the people that were kind of there every year, the diehards that were there, the regulars, we kind of policed the thing. And that was the idea behind the list.
And the list master.
And that was your nickname, right, Tom?
Oh,
the
list
master. That was what Destiny called
me. No, I had heard about the list master way before I ever met the list master.
And explain a little bit about what that title means.
All I was, and maybe it goes back to being in scouting and having strong leaders, but, you know, when you have a bunch of people, it takes somebody to just say, okay, that person's in charge. I wasn't really in charge, but I was the one that was willing to go through the process of creating the list. It was more or less an honor contract. You signed up when you got there, your name on the list, you knew your spot in line.
And you stayed there.
Yeah.
And you, because, you know, people thought they could come and sign the list and then go back home and then, like, come back and say, oh, yes, I'm number 57. Well, it was the job of number 56 and 58 to make sure that 57
was there,
put in their time.
Yeah. Now, you didn't have to stay there the whole time. This is when we're talking staying overnight, but you couldn't just sign up and leave. Now, there had to be somebody in line. Whether it was you, now that was another story. You know, there were many parents that would have their sons come and hold a spot in line, or they would pay the neighbor kid instead of babysitting. They would have that kid be the proxy person in line, and that was okay.
Now, I assume that this line went outside and that it was very cold.
Well, and that's where
that's
we get
story.
Into some other things.
Tell us about that.
The line was, for the most part, was inside.
The gateway.
The gateway.
Oh, okay.
When we occasionally, though, due to the owners of the gateway building, not Sundance, but the owners of the facility, they would either, due to maintenance issues or liability issues or whatever, they would say no overnight, you know, and they'd close the building at 10 o'clock or midnight and have everybody get outside. So everybody then was outside in sleeping bags, tents, you know, whatever.
Hence the intimacy.
Hence the intimacy, hence the ability or the hardcore aspect of it. Again, putting in your work, you were rewarded. Because, I mean, this is the first weekend in January in Park City, and you're sleeping out on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Which brings a good story, the Destiny Hotel.
Yeah. Well, what was interesting about that, and you never knew, that was the funny thing, is you never knew for sure if you would have to leave. It did sort of separate the wheat from the chaff, because you had to be pretty serious to be the kind of person, you know, in the top 100, I would say, to sleep out overnight. One night, we had to move out of the gateway. People were really good about it, but I could see, like, in the front area, there wasn't any really good spots, and it was snowing that year.
Yeah.
There was some snow.
It was Renee's
Martini Bar. So I went around the corner, and I told my people, can't remember, I was probably number 13, so I told number 12 and number 14, I'm going to be around the corner because I found a little area on Sweet Alley by Renee's that seemed kind of sheltered. And so I am in my sleeping bag. And I hear, you know, maybe 2-ish in the morning, a group of people come down the alley. And obviously they had been having some fun at the bar, two couples. And I hear this woman go, "Oh, Harold, I never realized there was such a problem with the homeless in Park City." Because they had seen all these people sleeping on the street. And I remember thinking, one, okay, this is the Sundance Film Festival local campout. And also, we have $250,000 worth of high-tech camping gear right here, ma'am. You know, because Park City people are used to being outdoors people. So we had Sub-Zero sleeping bags and... I have to love Dave. Dave was a great equipment man. He had portable heaters, and he had a lot of people in his posse. He had hibachis. You know, some years he was very equipped.
Well, one year he brought out in the back of a pickup a couple of propane grills and set them up, and he was out cooking pancakes and sausage and eggs and stuff for breakfast.
My kind of guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it was, like Dave, I said, it was a party. One year, we had a bluegrass band show up. Mm-hmm. We were still inside. Mm-hmm. Over the years, some of them had waited in line, and they knew this was the line, and they said, hey, let's go down, because everybody knew everybody, and it was a party. It was a sense of community for Park City. So they show up with their bluegrass band, and they played music for a couple hours, you know, and just had fun with everybody else.
So, now, I remember Kathy and I moved to Park City permanently in 2001, and I remember that they gave free tickets to the locals. I was so excited to be a local.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was when they did for the community.
The best of best. And they still do that.
You still get best of the fest
it's
for that
It's just harder to get the tickets now.
Yes, well, you have to wait in line, and if you go on the Sundance website, it'll tell you when, and it's going to be a long wait in line because everybody else is coming to pick up their tickets as well.
Although, can I just throw in, because I've had a lot of people, I think this is probably the most appropriate time for me to share the wishes of many, many people, but myself personally. When I became very serious about Sundance, seeing massive quantities of movies, and it was no longer recreational for me, thank to Tom and to Tim Collins, because they were there. They were always ahead of me, which is fine. I never wanted to be first. Well, maybe I wanted to be first, but they were always ahead of me and helped facilitate this. And I understand perfectly well why Tim Collins left the chaos of Salt Lake to come here, even though it was a drive for them, it was hard for them, because it was a good place to wait overnight. It was structured, it was fair, and we were self-policing. But how many nights did I sleep, however limitedly, with Tom and Tim watching over me and watching over all of us, keeping us safe? You know, we have talked about the Gateway a lot. There was one year, and I think it was 2000, and that was the hardest year I remember, when we had to be down by Marriott Summit Watch.
Oh, and that was outside.
And it was outside.
That was the year I wasn't there because my father-in-law had passed.
Okay.
I know you had police show up.
It was so loud. The police kept coming, and we were so nervous that because of the noise level with the people staying in Marriott Summit Watch, that we would be banished. We'd be sent away, all that work for nothing, you know, and there's always a few bad apples. We tried to keep the noise down because we had spent all that time, and that was a really, really hard year. I bonded probably more with people that year just because it was so tough. There was no sleeping. It was so cold.
And after that, they, I think, made arrangements with the Gateway to leave it open for ticket lines. I know in the last few years, they even, Sundance had hired their security people to be there as well, which helped us tremendously because we developed a relationship with the security people so they understood what we were trying to do, and we made their job easier by self-policing. And in the return, they helped us kind of keep the peace and keep the queue line.
Yeah. It does take a dynamic personality to be able to gather a group of people together that where there are no rules in actuality to commandeer it so that it's orderly, it's safe, that also
people
want to
be led.
Yes.
Yeah. People want to be led.
And you don't want to lose your place in line or have to have an argument or something. You want to keep that happy, go-lucky, fun community attitude.
Right.
So I can see that that would have been a great service.
Yeah, we had, and Destiny had touched on it briefly, about people occasionally trying to cut line. There was one lady, a little snobby thing, that would just show up, and because Sundance, again, didn't have the rules, and just barge her way in and just get everybody all mad, and there was, legally, there's nothing you could do. Really, though, after Sundance had started with the security folks there, we didn't have that problem. They took over if there was an issue like that.
Well, Destiny, you mentioned your journal, and I see that you have it in front of you. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, it's just one of many. I knew we were going to come and do this, and I was like, okay, I got to remember. People will come up and tell me the most amazing stories about the campout that I've completely forgotten. I put on Facebook that I was going to go and do this, and people sent me a ton of messages like, remember the year, you know, this happened or that. And I remember Katie Eldridge with her tent inside the Gateway with her Tibetan peace flags, you know, and just different stuff, which was really funny. And so I thought, okay, I better find out. And I looked through my journals, because I've kept a journal forever, and I found some people have really good pictures of us sleeping. Towards the end, there was more equipment. You'd see people, and they would bring TVs and DVD, and there'd be like a mini film festival over there, and then there'd be some other people having a mini film festival over there. It was just funny. I often said I needed like a team of Sherpas if I was truly going to be equipped. I remember innumerable game people. You have to while the time away somehow. You have to while the time away. And there would be people that would bring board games and different kind of games. And then lots of musicians came by. It was just, it was really interesting and great fun. And I do miss that camaraderie of those people. Every now and again, someone will come up to me, you know, and I don't really quite know who they are, and that happens to me often, but they'll be like, I slept with you at Sundance. I mean, we've often joked, I slept with his wife at Sundance. We slept side by side, huddled together while Tom and Tim watched over us. But it's just so funny when someone will say that, like, I slept with you at Sundance. I'm like, what? But they mean the locals' outdoor line, you know, or camp out.
Yeah. What year did that stop?
Wristbands, 2006.
That was it? 2006. Yeah. Okay. In 2005, there was a problem. 2005, something changed. The first person in line, Tim, that year, got up to the window. Everything was sold out. So here we have just spent 20-plus hours waiting overnight, and you get up to there, and it's sold out. How can that be? So that caused all kinds of bad blood with Sundance at that point. And it caused Destiny and I and Tim and some other people to protest enough that we also went before City Hall and said, we're locals. Sundance is getting tax incentives and all these other things from the city, yet here they are not supporting locals. There was a focus group that Sundance put together. They responded.
Yeah.
When we met multiple times over the summer and talked about ways to improve the response and the support for locals. But they did respond, and they did change their policy, you know, and that's when we went into a full panic.
A little bit, yeah. But I have to say that one of the last years, I remember being with some great people that were a little bit older, and it was hard on them physically just to camp out. And I understand the safety issues. And personally, I miss the camaraderie, but I'm kind of glad that we don't have to do that. It did reward the true zealous film lovers.
Right, and we've since adapted to the randomness of it by, you know, finding other ways and networking in different ways so that we're still participating at Sundance at a high level.
Really, film is story in its most unique aspect in a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm sure as you walked around, you had incredible experiences of meeting up with people.
Oh, sure.
We've been talking to Tom Heffron and Destiny Gross about the Sundance Film Festival early years.
Here's hoping all of our listeners will get out to the Sundance Film Festival and be brought to tears, joy, laughter, and thoughtfulness at the movies which are presented there. One of the wonderful things about the Sundance Film Festival is the amount of people that come into Park City. So even if you're not a movie buff, it's people watching time, and there's great music and other adventures throughout Park City. The Story Mine will be off for 1 week while Rick Broth has a special Sundance film review and presentation. And we will return on February 1st with more stories. Everyone has a story to share. Please come and share your story and be part of the storytelling world.
Well, thank you so much for coming and sharing your knowledge with us. It's been an enjoyable meeting.
It has.
Yeah, it's fun reminiscing.
It is. It is. And I'm sure we'll, as Roger used to say, see you at the movies.
Yes.